You know, mentally, because I'm out in Ranchitos, I was deeply
threatened.
Oh, yeah.
In Alaska.
Yeah, no, actually, I woke up to a whole flurry of people admitting that they were okay and saying that everything's calmed down now.
My daughter, they just canceled the warning.
I belong to a Facebook group.
It's always part of the reality of living in that area, but...
Yeah. The other day,
so seldom. The one time it was a big deal.
It was a really big deal.
My basketball.
We have pictures from '64 that show things like boats sitting in the middle of a town.
All lived in Anchorage.
Wow. Small.
And yeah, it was a at one point, yeah. We had...
Actually, the last report I saw was
called the Iowa Ghosts. They were almost like a barn.
Yeah, it was bigger than they originally were reporting. But everybody's fine. My family's fine. Friends are fine.
Harlem.
I had a friend whose husband was in Valdez doing work, and they were all directed to the high school at High Ground.
They contacted our school.
But nothing came of it.
We're offering this as a fundraiser.
A little bit of fear, but...
We get so much of the money. You get so much of the money. So there's a picture of my basketball team, and the...
We're up and running. I sure love coming in here and finding internet.
It is crazy.
The slowest computer I'm using right to get my other computer.
Yeah, Facebook is coming. Here I am. I'm pretty sure I was in grade 10. We have kids from grade 9 playing on it. We didn't hear anything else. Oh, God.
Don't make me laugh.
My 12-year, I didn't go to that school. I went from grade 1 to grade 11. At grade 12, they shipped us off 30 miles to a high school, a big high school. Six kids in my grade 12.
I went to a one-room school until sixth 14, grade.
15, one room.
17. 17
one-room school. Yeah. All grades.
I included
in
that.
Kansas.
That's a fair-sized group.
Yes.
What's that?
17 people? I included myself.
Oh.
16 people, and they had nerd.
They had nerd. Were you able
we'll,
to call
we'll
them?
We'll keep you from dripping.
Oh, my gosh. Maggie, I've had such a crazy week. I put a star on it, and I never went back to my list of stars.
I think whatever I have set up to scan that program to my laptop. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's Microsoft. I don't know if it's Epson. I don't know what I'm supposed to click on. Whatever it is, will not let me copy it.
Scan.
Yeah.
I have trouble too. Go into photos.
Yeah, this is a document, and I've never.
She's scanning a document as a PDF, and wants to select the text from the PDF and copy that into another document.
Because it's a PDF.
Well, actually, you can. But
I used to be able to.
Really?
That's what it comes
Everything
down to.
Used to be much easier.
I wonder if it would work if I scanned it and then emailed it to myself and then tried it.
Well, I think the only problem is the way you're viewing the PDF. Right? Because there are different ways now to view PDFs. You don't use Adobe Reader. That's not the default anymore. You can read it in an internet browser. You can use one of a variety of third-party PDF readers. But you can use Chrome, you can use Firefox, you can use Microsoft's Reader.
Do I right-click on the document to find those options?
Well, right-click and it'll say Open With. They're partway down the list. It says Open With and it'll give you a choice.
Because the screen that comes up, remember the screen? I've never seen that before, ever. I've always had a screen that had the option of copying and pasting, or do you want this document to be edited? And I would click yes, so I could copy and paste. I'm not getting that anymore. I had a $30 computer.
Printer.
USB printer.
Yeah.
Plugged into USB. And it worked perfectly. But I wanted a wireless. So I bought a wireless, gave the $30 printer to my neighbor, and I have nothing but trouble. I want to go take my printer.
Uh-huh.
Are you doing this through Word? Word?
Word is what I use. The document is something
Word
I got
has
from...
Word has been a real pain in the butt.
Well, I don't know what I'm opening it with. I can't tell.
Should we open? Because this might be a good topic for us all to add to.
These guys don't
Hello?
Know. I already asked them.
Harry. Welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Who's making all the noise down there?
That would be me, Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and you are all the San Carlos Computer Club. Thank you for coming. On one of the coldest days of the year, it's one of the few mornings I get to dig out my Alaskan summer clothes.
You don't even know what
Alaskan summer
is. Yeah, exactly. Try minus 37. Yes.
But I bet a number of us are still in short pants.
Yes, I know two of you that are, three of you that are. They're all from Canada. Well,
I'm watching you realizing what a wimp I've turned into.
Yeah, I should say.
Welcome to the world of the wimps.
Well, I will become obvious with very little preparation. And so I'm up for any topics, any suggestions, and we were just talking about Maggie's printer issue that I had taken a look at last week. She's got a scanner, a brand new printer that she's bought that has, it's a network, wireless network printer scanner. And her goal is to scan a document as a PDF and then copy and paste the PDF text into a Word document.
Into Google Translate.
Into Google Translate. This is actually a great use of this technology, because I think what you're looking at is some medical recommendations that were given to you by a Mexican doctor.
Right.
And you wanted to get them translated.
I want to know what he wants me to
do. Am I going to look up?
It's kind of an odd topic, because you wouldn't think that traditionally you could do that, but it really depends on the PDF reader that you're using, and it needs to have the capabilities for you to select the text in the PDF. And when I was there, we actually got it selected, but we couldn't get the PDF to line up correctly.
Right.
And so it created...
And it wouldn't copy either, as I recall.
Well, it would copy and paste, but what it would paste amongst the words that it could distinguish is a lot of Chinese gibberish because the text was tilted at an angle, and it was doing its best interpretation of the text that was in the PDF.
I've never had that happen.
Until this, yeah. And so I don't know if anybody has any suggestions on this. How much was it?
Should I take it back?
Go back to the doctor. Yeah, I was going to say, go to a bilingual doctor.
It was a cheap one, $60.
Scan it and use an OCR to make a print.
I had a $30 one that worked.
Well, this is actually something we didn't pursue, because she's used this before, so I didn't even bring this up. This is not a bad suggestion.
What?
If you have OCR software, and I didn't look to see if there's OCR software, but the function of OCR, optical character recognition, is to read the document and identify the letters and create a document of text. PDF is doing a graphic representation, whereas OCR is doing a text representation. So what it's doing when it reads the document, it doesn't care what font it is. What it cares about is distinguishing the letters and putting those letters into another... letters isn't for characters, special symbols, spaces, tabs, stuff like that. Identifying those and sticking those into another document.
Scott, I did that 10 years ago on Windows type software with the OCR. I was able to take a PDF. Now, you got to go through and clean it up, because it also doesn't recognize certain things, but it was pretty darn clean.
Never had this problem.
It was possible 10 years ago. I don't know anything now about Windows.
Well, it is. The thing with the OCR solution is that you have to have that software. And whether it came with your printer or not, I don't remember seeing it with the printer.
I don't buy any extra software.
So what kind of printer did
you
have?
Usually common.
Yeah. OCR would get bundled with specific devices, and so anytime you bought a device, it wasn't certain whether you had it or not unless you were looking on the box for it specifically. Otherwise, you'd have to provide your own OCR software, and that's how it's worked in the past. And there was a version of OCR for a long time that would get distributed with the big names like Canon and HP, but I couldn't tell you whether it's still happening.
I don't know that it was with my printer, I think. Office software?
No, it would be with the scanning equipment that it would get distributed with.
Okay.
I mean, if we're talking about the same thing, that's what it would be. Maggie's solution I found to be very creative, that she'd already been doing with a previous scanner printer without any problems. She would scan a document to a PDF document and then open the PDF in a reader, and PDF actually allows you, depending on your reader, to select, copy, and paste text from the PDF document. And it was working, but not working when I was there. We had it working, but we couldn't size up the page so it would show up in the PDF documents at a slight angle, like at a 3-degree angle. And so as you would select it, you would see the text running up. And so it was anybody's guess what would get pasted into the other document. And sure enough, what pasted in the other document would be one or two characters that made sense surrounded by gibberish.
We even turned it in at an angle.
To try and compensate.
Didn't work.
Well, I mean, a quick thing you might try is just search your computer for the word OCR, or no spaces, no periods, OCR, because that would be the typical way you'd refer to the software.
Why is the PDF angled? Why is it off the
kilter? When it was printed on this special form from the doctor's office, when the results were printed on the form, it was printed on crooked.
So it came to you that way.
Yeah.
It
was a
form. Yeah. It did
Photoshop,
take us a little.
You could probably straighten that out, but then how do you get from Photoshop into a PDF?
Yeah.
Hey, Chester, are you referring to a specific straightening function that's in Photoshop?
Yeah.
It's in all photos.
I'll review the document.
It's called straightening.
It's called straightening.
Go figure.
Now,
are you sure? That's just way too straightforward.
Well, it is. It's not the kind of thing that an engineer would use.
That's right. It was definitely developed by a photo guy.
Yeah, because otherwise it would be like DCIM for the folder with your images, you know. That's an engineer's function right there.
Scott, if it's plan ahead, it's hard to straighten that out. You know. But if it's this way, you can do all kinds of stuff.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, and I have seen auto straightening in certain software, like when you're taking it off the scanner. So I don't know. Maybe that's possible.
Have you tried just taking a photo and working from a photo, not from a scan?
Your original is still skewed.
But.
Hey.
But then maybe I can straighten it out, like Chester just said.
Right.
Or take a picture of it with
I think the solution is just to type the darn thing in Word and do it myself.
That's what I was
going to
say. It's not too much.
Just put
it I mean, come on, seriously. You could just ask him to send you another copy that's straight, too.
I'm just going to ask him how long I have to live and not worry.
Do I have time to figure this out?
Could you just paste this into Google Translate and send it to me?
Hey, one thing I would suggest is instead of working with that document that's crooked, find a document in good shape and get it to work, and then figure out what's wrong. Eliminate the straightening problem before you work on it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, just scan something that's straightforward, and then work on it, get it so it works, and then you start working on your document.
Assuming it will let me copy.
And get it to work all the way through your system.
And we couldn't copy it first, Scott, and then you got it to work to copy.
Yeah.
And when I went back in later, it wouldn't copy again.
It wouldn't copy.
And then you had the two computers in there that with their those are totally gone. And the next morning, the icon for scan was totally gone. All gone.
Yeah, you might take that printer back. I watched such bizarre behavior from that. I mean, we monkeyed around with it and we were following the instructions, and it was there, and it was exactly the way it was supposed to work, and then it was gone, and it wouldn't work. And
you know, I might have time to take it back. Doesn't Target give you 90 days?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I've got the receipt.
I don't doubt in the end we could make this work, but these products are supposed to just work.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a snack.
You're not supposed to need to call me to get a printer and a scanner working. It's just supposed to work.
Yeah. Take it back. Take it all the way back to China.
I've always wanted to visit China. Why not?
Hey, continuing on the theme of getting something translated, I just had another thought. If you did need to do this, you might try that photo feature in the Google Translate app on your phone.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah. You just point your phone at the document.
Judy just said that. Okay.
Yeah.
OK. Okay. And then what? And then
well, there's the translate app for
what you were just doing.
Oh, geez, duh.
Right. And just point it at your document and wait for results.
Of course.
The only thing is, is when you do that, it's really hard to make it. We were practicing on this sign up there, and it's very difficult to make it larger.
To make it larger,
well, so that you can read it.
Right in front of me, and I'll probably have to move the phone along to get the whole.
You have to do it a paragraph at a time.
She's not going to buy it mine if you do it
again. God, I can't believe we just talked about that.
Well, there's a lot of different options.
Call the doctor.
I had a problem with my computer. Rebuilt it.
Okay.
So she copied or she backed up my computer to a portable hard drive that I have. And now I want to look at that, and it says that I don't have the executive
permission.
Permission, yeah.
Yeah.
So how do I get that?
You should just be able to click the OK button.
Okay.
Yeah, when it gives you that message, it gives you, like, continue or cancel. And so just click continue.
Continue, okay.
And it will set those permissions. What's going on is it recognizes that it was at administrative level when it was copied. And that administrative level did not come from the computer it's plugged in now. Because every time you rebuild the computer, it has a different security identifier. And so when you plug it into your computer and it sees it's got somebody else's security identifier, it's reminding you, hey, administrator did this, it wasn't your computer. What is confusing is that you are the administrator on the computer that you just plugged it into.
Yeah.
And by the very nature of plugging it in, you have become the administrator of that device. And so you can set your own permissions on those folders. And Windows has made that much easier now. Instead of giving you a goofy, like, what do I do, where do I go, it just gives you a continue button. You hit that, and it spends a period of time setting your permissions on all those folders.
Oh, okay.
And so you just wait, and what you'll find as you traverse deeper into it, it may find another folder, and you just hit continue. And, and depending on how big that folder is, it may take a while. You may have to walk away and go get a cup of coffee while you wait for it.
A lot of pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Administrators don't take coffee, and they don't dress like
isn't
he
that
does.
Crazy?
I would argue against that, Bob. I think he looks exactly like an administrator in my world.
Really?
In my world, I do a lot of administrating in my shorts.
That's way too much information.
Sorry, overshare. Click like if you don't want to hear that again. No, but that's all that's about. And when you've got physical access to a device, now the exception with that is if the device was encrypted. Then it doesn't matter who the administrator is. That's just the first barrier. If it's been encrypted, then you're going to have the decryption password on it. Now, it's easy for me to tell you you're not going to have a problem because we don't recommend, and most normal people aren't running an encryption scheme on their hard drive.
That's normal people.
That's normal people.
So Sunny doesn't do that. She doesn't.
She makes a machine
image rather than, I mean, it's. I can just open the files.
You should be able to just open the files. The encryption is actually a process. In Windows, it's called BitLocker. And it's a completely...
Hello. Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
A tsunami alert.
Yeah, tsunami alert. Did it get to us?
Sounds like a bomb countdown.
It's, don't worry, it's a false missile alert for San Carlos.
Take cover.
Everybody under the tables.
I bet Hawaii is improving that system.
That was what was so weird.
Yeah, Hawaii and Japan,
on the wrong
right?
Where were they going to run to? That's what.
Did you guys follow any? Didn't Japan have a false as well?
Oh, did they?
Yes,
yeah.
They did.
Yeah. Oh, what?
Yeah. A false.
Not yesterday, but throughout the last week. They had one just a day or two after.
Yeah, after.
Which for me, reaffirms the idea that I think these are hackers. I really think these are hackers. Yeah.
Well, they fired the guy that did this.
No, they reassigned him.
What?
they reassigned him.
Oh, okay. Now he's in charge.
Something. Yeah.
Right. So now he's in charge of important stuff.
Yeah. For retraining.
Be very careful.
I really thought that was a good point they made on the late shows when they reassigned him. Why would you reassign that guy? He's never going to make that mistake again.
Take him to lunch and let him go.
Well, that's like one of the most expensive training sessions he's ever had. You got to cash in on that. That guy's higher educated than everyone else in the room now.
Okay.
They knew after a couple minutes it was a false alarm, but they
took them forever.
It's a protocol to cancel it.
Yeah.
It took all the time.
That's the type of thing that you should need two fingers to initiate. I mean, one person could do it, but you have to press two keys at once or something like that. So you can't.
What is take cover on an island in the first place?
I know.
I'd rather just not know. I'd rather get in a system alert like, hey, go get a bottle of wine and find your wife. Yeah. You got 45 minutes.
Yeah, no, I think look for the closest bottle of liquor is the instruction.
In the late 1940s, we were bringing the best to get under our desk.
Yeah.
Scarred for life.
Hang on to the ladder while I close the lid.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be back.
Yeah.
I mean, what a weird thing. I just couldn't. They're showing all these people running, and where are they running?
Right.
Where are they going?
Yeah. The world's coming to an end. You can have sex right there. Nobody's going to care in 40 minutes.
Oh, my God.
It was a crazy day in the bank, I'm telling you.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
God.
One deposit slip, two deposits.
What's in your coffee?
I don't know. Blame tequilas. Okay. Back to tech. Did you guys see the stripper robots? No. Got to keep it focused. Okay, I wasn't kidding when I said any topics.
That's pretty obvious.
Make some wise-ass remarks, or I'll be happy to answer some questions.
That's part of what
Mike, I know Mike sent me a topic that I didn't read or follow through on.
Okay, well, it was about IPTV, and a friend of mine has been trying to cut his cord for at least 5 years. And I keep telling him, forget about it, because it's just going to be so expensive to patch everything else together. But he insists it's not... and then he's just sent me another one that's one of too long to read. But there seems to be great move afoot to get rid of cable bills. And according to both those articles, it's going to be a lot more practical. I really still believe it's only in urban areas. I don't think a farm in Iowa or Midcon or something like that, you're going to be able to do this. There's only one internet provider. Nobody's internet providers springing up to fight the Comcast and Verizon of the world in these rural areas.
Right, yeah, that's really the biggest problem in the rural areas.
And not only that, the entire Cable TV Act is designed, I think it was from the 70s or 80s, designed to keep out competition, to protect their initial investment.
Yeah.
So, but IPTV seems to be on its way.
Wait.
Buffering is a result of sometimes a lot of people using it. Okay? And my experience was with fiber optic cable. A guy came into a rural area and put it in, and that place has gone from $20,000 a lot in the house up to $2 million.
Whoa.
Right outside of Portland, Oregon. And when I see that the news is that in other countries have got $5 cable costs.
Yeah, 100 megabytes. Yeah. 100
why,
megabytes.
Where are we?
There's too few companies controlling. But I have a supplemental story to your government. I was at a kid in our town, and I met a man who's in jail now. He started a cable company in rural Pennsylvania, and it turned into Comcast. But he sold out to Comcast.
Sure.
And this is a little backstory. One of our members just carried a piece because all those other guys with suits had to have pieces out underneath them. And secondly, he once offered me just a blank check to go appraise a house for him just to make things happen. He was that kind of a guy. But anyway, he was the one that finally got caught delivering his Christmas tree to his daughter on a private plane to New York City out of the company fund. So that's
what anyway, that kind of guy.
Out, he started out in the early, probably in the late 50s, in a small town in western Pennsylvania with a TV store. And he decided to put up a pole with a big, big antenna. And he ran wires to all the houses. And that's how he started.
Wow.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Rags to riches. But
and then to jail.
Hey, this topic is reminding me I do have some topics.
Oh,
I just forgot to write them down.
Okay.
I did tweet them earlier this week, though, and you're reminding me of one that a motherboard story that I caught that showed that Apple is blocking an app that was built to test net neutrality violations.
What?
So we talked about the net neutrality regulations that were what's the word? Resolved? Thrown out the window? Thrown out net.
There's a minor move right now to put it back together through Congress, but I don't think we need to wait for that one.
Well, so for a few years now, there's been a university, and I'll wait for this article to come up. I can tell you which one, or you can go back on my Twitter feed and find it. But they've been doing research into throttling and this idea of unequal access through your internet providers. And so they came up with a technology that allowed them to evaluate when particular services are being slowed down, you know, relative to how much speed you actually have. And now they've designed an app for free, and they've submitted it to the App Store. And the article is really how Apple keeps refusing to hold it in the App Store. Mm-hmm. And so they use the app. They show, I mean, apparently, like, these regulations weren't stopping anybody from throttling because of the way they've been able to evaluate the technology. They've got ratings on things like YouTube, Netflix, Hulu. I mean, these services that you rely on having a good bandwidth to take advantage
of. What's throttling?
Throttling is when you throw something down or slow something down.
Okay.
Like on a car.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, I mean, thank you, Bob, for asking that, because throttling is the technical term we use in the industry to describe. Yeah, exactly.
Choking.
Yeah. Slowing, so you've got 40 megabits a second, but if you use Netflix, your internet provider gives you 5 megabits a second. That's throttling.
Okay, along that line, what's a trough?
Trough?
No, trough.
That's where you water your horse.
That's not the wrong word. Not a barrel, but a trough. It's where you have many servers and it pops over. And Netflix has that, and a lot of them don't, especially the TV companies don't have it.
Well, I'm not sure the term you're looking for, but what you're describing is how Netflix distributes their own servers in local areas so that you don't have to go so far for the data. You don't have to go through this chain of computers to get to it. An example of this would be if they cut a deal with Telmex, they would have a Netflix server here locally in Guaymas, knowing that it's easier on everybody if you see your movie from Guaymas versus going to California and watching it.
Well, Netflix never has any buffers.
Well, and that's the reason, is because they make those kinds of deals with large internet providers. Again, not a solution for a rural area because they don't have enough market share. They don't care.
Yeah.
But in places like Los Angeles, New York, Anchorage, Alaska, they go and cut deals with those internet providers so that they'll host equipment in their data centers so it's easier to get at.
I know is the wrong word. And barrel is not the right word.
I know there's a term for it, but I can't remember what the term is at the moment. And at the same time, I'm digging through this article trying to figure out what university was doing this research.
You weren't through with that, with your thoughts on that, were you?
No, I'm not at all. Northeastern University. got a capital N. I think that's the name of it.
It's in Boston.
It's in Boston? Yeah.
Hard to get into now.
So they've been doing research for a few years now on this, and yeah, here he's got a quote saying, "My Verizon LTE service streams YouTube to my iPhone at 6 megabits, my Amazon Prime video at 8, Netflix at 4. It downloads other data, it speeds up to 25 megabits a second." And so they're providing. Now what's interesting is when those regulations went into place, Verizon worked very hard not to be part of that. And the regulations stipulated that they were only for landlines, cables, and DSL connections, or fiber optic connections, but didn't affect Wi-Fi. And the way they were able to sell the idea that it didn't affect wireless was because it was considered a budding industry that needed to have the freedom to do whatever to grow that industry and be competitive. And so he's showing us an example of this kind of throttling, this violation of net neutralities through a wireless carrier that was never in a position where they had to follow any net neutrality regulation. Anyway, I just thought it was very interesting the article is actually about why is Apple doing this? Why won't they let us have access to this app? They've only developed it on the iPhone, which is another question for me. Why don't they have an Android version of it? Because it would be all over the place. Because it's on an iPhone, you can only get it through the store or violate the terms and services of your warranty by jailbreaking your iPhone so that you can put it on your phone.
Is that how that kid found they were slowing down the old iPhones?
Yeah, slightly different, but yeah. I mean, I guess the way you... did you see that? I mean, going to the slowdown... That's one of the new updates for the operating system that they've announced, is that you'll be able to go in and choose whether your phone gets slowed down or not based on your battery. You can choose. They'll inform you of battery health, and you can choose. We've also had, going back to the battery as well, we've had reports of people trying to get their battery replaced by Apple under their discount, their $29 the $30 battery replace. And they've, in store, have been getting turned away because their battery's in too good of a condition to qualify.
Talking about batteries, it does work to put a battery into the freezer.
What?
Okay.
Everybody ought to know that.
Keeps your freezer charged.
I will qualify.
It works. It works. I've done it about twice.
I will qualify that with, don't put it in the freezer unless you're ready to put it in the trash. That's the only caveat, is that if you're about to put it in the freezer, it's because you were going to throw it in the trash. Then feel free to put it. The freezer creates freezer crystals. I mean, they freeze stuff into crystals. It breaks particles. And I'm not comfortable doing that with a battery.
How about the refrigerator?
I'm more comfortable with the refrigerator.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about an ice pack?
Okay, I guess
I'm less comfortable
that.
With an ice pack.
How about the microwave?
Unless it's for my forehead.
Microwave.
I can't think of a good reason to put it in the microwave.
Well, all I know is it didn't work. Yeah. It didn't work. I put it in the freezer and I lucked out, and it worked fine.
Oh. Yeah.
What do you know about all the phones in San Carlos going to be
alive? How long did it work?
I don't know much about
this. Why isn't our phone working?
Wow. What a life's great mystery.
I've actually only heard of one person that is on that system, but it was enough for me to believe that it's going to start happening. Hey, it's supposed to be at the end of these fiber optic connections, though. If you have fiber optics coming into your house, then they may just stop.
Do you know how far they've gotten in the ranchitos at this point?
No, there's no fight.
Please.
They don't know.
Give
it up. What I'm saying is, why isn't our phone working?
We don't have water in the ranchitos.
Mule trails.
Really?
Really.
A lot of people don't have internet right now and phone. I do not have phone, but I know one of the reasons it might not be any good in my house is because a big truck with a deal for carrying steel up above, hooked the line, and the poles went like this.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's down right now to within a foot of the top of our
garden
wall.
You're in the
caracol,
right? Yeah. Three or four other people have mentioned that they don't have phones.
We have internet.
Wow.
No telephone.
Yeah, but I was told that a lot of people don't have phones. I went down and complained at the telephone company, and they said, we don't have any other calls. We have no.
Oh, that's not true. Carol,
we know Carol.
You know they've got that English written down right in front of the keyboard.
I thought that was a bit unusual.
Do you have internet? Do you have internet or just no phone?
I have no internet and I have no phone.
Have you reported it?
The interesting thing is I have Vonage.
See,
now how does that happen?
You have to have
that's bizarre. You'd have
it
to have internet
bizarre.
For Vonage.
No phone.
But one thing that can happen because of the nature of the technology, you can have internet coming in through your phone line through the DSL and not have a dial tone to make phone calls, the traditional phone calls. That's totally possible, yeah.
That's exactly what I have.
We use our magic jack.
So your Vonage would work because it's running across the DSL signal.
Right.
But your traditional phone is not working for some reason.
I try the phone. I've got three phones, and I tried them all. Not one.
I know that I had a tech describe to me the telephone box around the corner from my house, and the way he described it was there's two sides to it in the middle, and if your one side leads to the post that leads to your house, and the other side leads to your to the office where Telmex connects you. And in the middle is the internet connection, and that's another line to the office. And if you are just doing phones, which is hard to believe in this day and age, but if you just have a dial-up phone, then your line goes straight across the box to the office. Whereas if you've got a DSL internet connection, it goes from the post side down through the multiplexer, the internet, and then up to the phone line. So your line is connected to two devices that run, or two different routes to the...
That's more information than I wanted.
Well, what that means, because it's two different routes, that means it's possible for you to get one and not the other.
Okay.
In the DSL situation. The fiber optic situation is slightly different. And where you normally see it around town, you see fiber optics have been installed alongside a traditional phone line that's been there forever. And many times they don't try and replace that phone line. They just leave that phone line, that copper line for your regular phones.
That's what we have.
And then you have a fiber optic line that's being used just for internet. So two routes directly to your house.
And they say
the fiber optic line also take telephone?
It can. That's kind of what was started this conversation off of. I really have only heard of one person. I can't remember their name at the moment, but we were talking about what would have been offered in their place. And they said, no, we've got our phone connected directly to the Telmex router, the fiber optic router. And you can see, if you look at these fiber optic routers, they have a VoIP device built into them that's ready to be used as soon as they want to start cranking that stuff on. So I imagine it's part of their long-term plan, at least to have that option.
Long-term
plan. Yes. Apple stopping us from seeing what our internet... I mean, if we had this app, what we could do is we could just rate the internet net neutrality of whatever internet provider we're connected to at the moment. You could go into a mega cable connection and see how it compares to a Telmex connection. And I'm kind of curious recently because last year... Are any of you using WhatsApp? I mean, it's definitely gotten more popular.
Yes.
At least with gringos, because Mexicans have been using WhatsApp forever. But
it's great.
My daughter-in-law from Russia, I mean, she's the one who turned me on to
right.
it because she talks to her mother.
It's just such a popular app outside of the United States. And I'm not surprised you guys are aware of it because we all live this kind of mixed up existence. Mexican American culture.
What is someone,
what's up?
WhatsApp is the name of it.
What's
app?
And what does it do?
Well, it's an instant messenger that's been around for a long time.
You can also send pictures and stuff on.
Pictures, phone calls, video calls.
Well, no, I've got all
phone calls is the question. Have you guys been using it for audio message to have audio conversation successfully?
Yes.
You have?
Yes. My gardener in Colorado just sends me a message going, Judy, it's going to be really expensive for me to clean your yard. You want me to go ahead?
Okay, so he sends you an audio file that you listen to when it gets. But what about just a real-time phone conversation?
You can do that.
Tried.
You could do that. Last year, it was a very doable thing.
It's doing busy when I try and.
And this year, it's impossible.
Really?
Oh, this year, my wife and I and other Mexicans, it became very common for us to use WhatsApp because here in Mexico, it's for free.
It's ringing.
And we would use it for audio conversations, real-time phone conversations. And in the last year, it's been impossible to use. Hmm. I'm getting a call from Maggie right now.
And we'll
probably have that experience. I'll answer it. Can we have a real conversation?
We sure can. Can you hear me?
Now, what we should do is we should get on the cell network and see if we can do the same thing. Because that's where we're experiencing the problem, is not a Wi-Fi hotspot where we're both sitting around the table from each other, but when one of us is on Telcel and the other one's on the internet somewhere, we can't carry on a conversation.
I do have a friend that asked me not to call her on WhatsApp anymore, to call her cell phone because she can't hear as well.
That's right.
It's real crackly.
Yeah, and
I can
choppy.
Hear her perfectly, but she can't hear.
That just happened to me with a friend of mine that was calling on WhatsApp.
So I'd be really interested to see a net neutrality rating of Telcel to see what they're doing, because it's sure not in their best interest to have us using WhatsApp for free to talk to each other when they count the minutes on the cell phone network.
One thing on WhatsApp, a couple of guys that do work for us said, get a WhatsApp, so I checked into it, and first thing is, we want to monitor your every move, every time you're on any kind of...
access to your contacts.
Well, Mike, it's actually, I mean, if something, and maybe that's a Facebook thing, since Facebook has bought WhatsApp. But WhatsApp, if you were looking for the truly most, the easiest, securest messenger between people, then WhatsApp would have to be it. I'm looking for that word. It's
encrypted.
It's the most available.
The hardest part, though, is putting the phone number in their format that WhatsApp has to have in order to contact.
To recognize the contact?
Yeah, so you have to do the +52, blah, 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 blah.
WhatsApp functions on a peer-to-peer scheme and encrypts communication between phones. Actually, if you move to another phone with WhatsApp, you may lose all those conversations that you've had.
You do.
Because they're associated with that original phone, that original piece of hardware that you have.
I did when I bought my new phone.
Now, there are ways to bring them over, but the point is that's not inherent. There isn't a cloud out there keeping track of all this stuff. It's happening between the two phones. So I can't think of the right adjective there to describe how easy it is for anyone to get into WhatsApp, and that's the point. Out of all the messengers that are out there, it is probably the most secure, the most private, while being available to even the most novice person.
Is instant messaging the same kind of operation?
I mean, it's essentially a Skype.
Yeah, okay.
It's totally free. Data-free and cost-free.
Yeah, it's totally free. And one of the advantages in Mexico, if you're on the cell plans, is that they do Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, all for free. So before, we were doing all these free phone calls on WhatsApp. That was last year. This year, can't get a free phone call to save your life. It's all crackly and choppy and staggered and disconnecting. And I suspect that Telcel is throttling that data link, saying, yeah, it's for free, but up to a certain speed.
But I don't have Telcel.
And
so why would mine be crackly? Because I use AT&T.
Well, because AT&T has the ability to do the same thing.
So it's not just Telcel.
Sure, sure, yeah. No, it could, I mean,
you
that,
think it's a Mexican thing.
I think that, it, I actually think it's happening all over the place. Well, I think that this article about Apple not allowing this mm-hmm. app in the store, they use examples of Verizon doing this when it comes to the video providers. I mean, when you're on LTE, you're looking at a minimum of 25 megabits a second to a potential of 150 megabits a second. There's no reason for anything to be buffering or being slow. It's all infrastructure provider that's doing that. I mean, it could be a lousy infrastructure. They could have a cell way far away from you. Not typically, though. I mean, we typically have cells right above us. They could have shoddy wiring to that cell. It's not very common, though. I mean, you can, in fact, if you get a speed test app on your phone, go get connected to Telcel and do a speed test. You'll see you're good for at least 40 megabits a second. So if we're in the same town, using the same cell network, trying to use the same app, you'd think you'd get the same data rates. But that doesn't seem to be the case.
Ed has the highest speed you can get, I think.
Now you're talking about Telmex with a DSL.
Yes, yes. And I have the
same. And Jim has the same thing.
Yes, and I have the one below that, and I can't tell the difference between his faster speed. And the word that I was using was hopper. A hopper. In other words,
hopper.
Yeah, it goes from one right. service to another service. If that's overloaded, it goes to another one automatically. And Netflix has a whole bunch of hoppers where there's like 10, 15, or 100. I don't know. But a hopper is the word.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Not barrel. Not
barrel.
Hopper.
Hopper. Well, I've definitely heard, but I'm not sure if I've heard it in this context.
This gets a little complicated. So we're in Mexico and this is going on, and not in the States. Mexico has net neutrality now, don't they?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think they've
and
ever had...
Nobody else did.
No, I don't think they've ever had any kind of protections for net neutrality.
Well, 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, could this have happened in the States?
Yeah, in fact, it is happening in the States. That was
the
point.
But the rule just changed, like, recently.
Right. This is an example of why we need the rules. But they were violating the rules in place, and they were able to violate the rules because the rules were subjective to physical wires, and had an exemption for wireless Wi-Fi cell networks. Right. But this throttling, this game has been going on in cable networks regardless of the rules. And what the rules allowed was for legal. What is it? I'm not a law person at all. I don't even have the vocabulary.
Oversight?
Yeah, for legal oversight. I mean, when they get a complaint, when the FCC gets a complaint about Comcast slowing something down, they have legal repercussions they have to deal with.
Yeah.
Now it's like a civil thing. Now you have to file like a class action suit against them.
Regulator.
Okay, yeah, regulator.
Now, I've run into that a lot because...
class action suits?
Really, really. Because I have said, why can't you give me service? In Mexico, I can get service the next day. And they say, I'm sorry, the law says that the small companies like the one in Beaver Creek, Oregon, they don't have the ability to send out somebody and get you service right away.
You
but the big companies
right
like Comcast, they have that ability.
Right.
And so that's the legal side, and it's slowing down the big companies.
Well, and actually that's a good example of where we don't have the kind of competition that would allow us to exist without oversight. Because I'm a firm believer, if we had 12 different internet providers out there, you can guarantee one of them would be selling their service on, this is the most private, this is the one that doesn't throttle your internet, this is the one you have free. That would be selling points, and you would walk away from the other ones to go to that, and that's how competition would work.
But monopolies can be set up without it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
In 99% of the areas in the United States, the cable license for 10 years.
Are you out of here?
And you get them out, you have to go through these four steps to prove that they have been totally negligent, And that they're shutting down all kinds of other companies. It's impossible to get them up. Impossible. The big city of Houston did their own. Massachusetts did their own. Impossible to get them out. So when you say they have a 10-year kind of out of it. So, you know, that's part of the deal. You know, you're going to get this contract, but you got to serve everybody.
Makes sense. I'm thinking Harvard with Cambridge. That would make sense. Harvard, Cambridge.
Yeah.
Unless somebody hasn't.
Did you hear they merged YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook, and they're going to call it YouTwitface?
Scott?
Yes, Gary.
You're partially familiar with this problem. You're over both
Yes. Is there any? I haven't made it over to your place to check it out again. What? Hey. Okay. So it's still suffering from the same problem.
Well, it cured itself for 2 or 3 days. That's the weird part. Is that what's going on that it can be dealt with in that fashion, where it's working some of the time, it's cut off some of the time. Whereas my computer, anything I try to do on there,
it's working just fine.
But the TV, just like at half speed or something, it just doesn't, it won't go, and it won't hook up wired either. It's really odd.
Well, and it won't hook up wired right next to the modem. It's not that long length of cable you have. It's really whenever you're trying to use this service. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if later on we're going to discover that this service that you're using for TV is getting targeted directly by Telmex and Megacable.
That's what I'm thinking too, and Scott doesn't want to admit that, but I'm thinking that.
What's being targeted by?
Well, Scott's been distributing this Radiosity TV, and Gary's having issues with it. I don't know, are there other people that are using Radiosity?
I watched it yesterday at Prince's house.
Yeah. Are you been happy with the quality recently?
You know, after being on this kind of a service for years, and the internet was really bad for years, there were nights when I was getting 0.08. Occasionally there's a little outage. A great example would be like, if it's too busy, go over to the Spanish one. And just, you know, if you know football, you don't need to know the language that well. You know, just watch it in Spanish. Big deal. You know? So I've learned to live with it. You know, occasionally PBS will be out, or this one will be out, or that one will be out. But there's enough on there. And the movie selection is way better than when I first got here. Getting one or two good movies a week now. In the beginning, it was trashed. It never went to the theater. It was just trashed. Crank it out for $30,000 and put it up on the internet.
Mike, what equipment are you? You're using.
I have the Roku.
You have the Roku.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. I know. I have a Fire. The Roku's pretty much gone.
You have the
they
Fire Stick.
They shut that down about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I have a Roku that still works.
Really? Still, you're still working.
My friend has a Roku.
Is it really? Okay. Roku. I was told they shut it down. I mean, the government of Mexico made them illegal.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know why you're still working.
We've got an amazing ambience going on in the background here. I'm glad this is just an audio recording because it makes us sound like a huge group. I mean, we've just had a stadium show up for Computer Club.
Are you a Trumper or something?
That's right. Ooh, huge. Big league.
Big league audience.
So your Roku doesn't stop working?
Actually, no. I loaded it to a buddy.
Internet radio right now.
The other Scott.
Okay.
Do you think I just need to plug
in
the Ethernet?
But he told me to bring down a Fire.
You know, we just come up with it.
The Amazon Fire. But on the Amazon Fire Stick, you can't get Amazon
identification
stuff on
and all
the
that. But it still had a little X over the...
Which is...
The Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
What brand is it?
It's a Kelemon. It's a new brand.
Okay.
But it's, you know...
It's nothing I'm familiar with then, yeah. I mean, if it was an Amazon, Google Home or something.
They gave it to me for Christmas. But, you know, I was thinking maybe if I just plug it in directly with the internet, it might start working.
It should. You would think it would for some kind of service. Or it may work with something you already own, like an Amazon service or a Google service. Because there's these third-party equipment makers that are now licensing for those services. So I don't recommend, but it may be an Amazon Echo system. And so you would add your Amazon account to it so that you could use it. Or it might be a Google Home system, and so then you'd add your Google account.
Yeah, it does have Google Home. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't able to access the Amazon at home yet.
Well, so that would be a matter of adding that equipment to that.
Right now, the Wi-Fi hasn't read it.
Because it's a name brand that we're not recognizing, I would definitely plug it in with a cable. You might discover the very first thing it does is download an updated piece of software because there's a problem with the Wi-Fi.
Okay.
And then try the Wi-Fi after it's been connected for a while. Okay. And those kinds of devices, they don't do a good job of giving you...
No kidding.
Like if it did need an update, it's probably not going to tell you that it needs an update. It's probably not going to tell you it did an update. It would probably take somebody like myself to go into it, look at what version it's at beforehand, plug it in, and then see what version it's at afterwards for you to even be aware of it. So I think just user scenario, I'd plug it in, watch it work correctly for a week or two, and then try it on Wi-Fi again.
Yeah. Echo work, Echo and Tap are just wonderful.
Yeah?
I just love it.
I
found it. It was lost.
I added a battery to our original Echo.
Really?
And it's just amazingly more convenient. Like the Tap that you've just unplug it and walk. Many times we'll be listening to the sitting room and got to do something in the back room. Plug it and bring it back room.
Right. Yeah. That's what I do.
Scott, one last thing on the radiosity.
The bathroom.
You know all my secrets now.
You want to turn off your VPN like at night, especially like around 4, 5 o'clock. If you're not going to go steal anything else onto your computer, turn off your VPNs because it'll only add a couple points to your megabytes. And that really adds a lot of the buffering stuff too. It pulls off. So your radiosity will come in better when the VPN is not on.
Oh, okay. And I know in Gary's situation, he's not using a VPN, but I know what you're saying.
You get a lot of freeze-ups when the pattern comes on. You turn off the VPN, most of those go away.
VPN right beside it. Well, I know what Gary's been experiencing is absolutely no problems with his PC. I connected to, good internet speeds, everything he tries to watch is fine. But then he goes to Radiosity on either an Android box or a Roku box, and does not have the experience you're having. It's basically falling apart.
Nothing. The guide comes up and there's all the regular channels, and only the ones that says backup.
Oh, really? Have you tried an Ethernet cord to
it? Yeah, that's... And we were blaming it on an extension.
I've done that in the past when I had to.
No, that's just down to those. Can't get the network, can't get HBO, can't get Cinemax.
Oh, really? I have a very long internet cord.
To be fair, though, you're using the Fire TV stick, right?
Yeah.
And actually, let me mention that Fire TV stick, if you haven't been paying attention,
it's a stick. It's an Amazon Fire. It looks like a Roku.
It's the box?
It's a box.
Okay. Well, they're being sold on Amazon Mexico. And
you
if
buy that in the States, right?
Yeah.
But the stick you can actually buy right here in Mexico and have sent to your door. They're selling it in the Amazon store, Amazon.mx. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking for an
alternative. I'm thinking I better get one just in case. I don't want to lose TV.
Oh, my God. No one's toys, baby.
Are you sitting in the corner, unplugged?
Watch it at night. I only watch Netflix. Well, Netflix or Terrarium. Terrarium's great.
We've got a few minutes left before we're done. I'm just going through my Twitter feed, looking at all these interesting things I didn't bother to write down. Did you guys see that the NSA has accidentally wiped out all its mass surveillance?
Yeah. The Hillary.
They need a good IT person.
Yeah.
Backups, buddy. This is why they couldn't get Hillary's emails, is because they accidentally deleted them.
That and a bunch of the Russian collusion files, too.
The Russians did it.
Oops, it's the same guy. That's where the guy from Hawaii went. That's where he got promoted, too.
That's right.
Now he's a senior button pusher.
Oops.
You said terrarium?
I saw that fly past the Facebook feed as well. Somebody was posting something about all cell phone numbers were going to be up for grabs for telemarketers. I don't know how true this is. I didn't have a chance to check on the validity of it, but from what I understand, the no-call list thing expired a while ago.
You know what's interesting? When I had my Motorola phone down here, I used to get telemarketers, phone calls all the time. And then I switched to Apple, and I don't get them anymore. Same service, same AT&T, so what happened?
You know how Telcel works around here is they call like once or twice a week and try and sell me more service.
And use up some of your minutes.
If that's the kind of plan you have. I've started blocking their calls now because
I have T-Mobile and I just had mine reset because it used to be I would get a message saying probable scam when the phone rang. It would show
the
number.
Oh, that's great.
And it would say probable scam, and I'd turn it off. But now I'm not going to get those anymore. They're going to stop them before they transmit.
Oh, they're not even going to bother passing you the number. Yeah. That's the way they should be doing. I wouldn't be surprised if Apple was doing something like that. Just somebody has to report a phone number as being a solicitation, and Apple's just like, no, not. But
if you have a kid in high school and the school sends text messages to the whole student body, you may not get those.
Because it's a mass mailing. Yeah. Interesting. Well, I haven't heard much about that kind of issue.
Yeah.
That could be a real problem, though, unless you have an EDU address. I know my high school grandkids, that's how the school communicates with them. Right. It's all.
No, I don't have that.
Well, you're talking about phone calls and text messages, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so these are services that your cell phone provider would probably give you. I got one other topic that I thought you guys would be interested in. 3D printing systems printing prescription drugs. This is the future.
Say it again, what?
I think this will be a killer app here in San Carlos. What happened to happy hour? Nobody's here. Everybody's sitting in their living room zoning out on whatever the latest... We're going to need WhatsApp to pass all those recipes back and forth.
Oh, my God.
Say that louder, please, Gary.
They're experimenting with some kiosk-type positions. I can't remember if it's in Seattle or exactly where they will fill prescriptions through that.
Through the kiosk. Like a stamp machine.
Right, yeah. To that machine, and it has, I don't know, 500 different normal...
Oh, what an awesome idea. Right?
Somebody you have to hit the RX.
Well, I mean, still, just from a practical standpoint, I'd much rather buy stamps from a stamp machine than the post office.
Yeah.
I'd much rather buy drugs from the machine as long as everything's working fine.
Yeah, you can see what a stamp is worth by looking at what's on it. Can't see what you get.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, there's definitely some flaws in this idea.
What store is it? Is it Seattle now? Is Amazon? There's nobody in it. You just walk in, pick your stuff up, and walk out, and it charges your account.
I saw that.
The Amazon. What are they calling that? But you're right. It's like a self checkout.
There's nobody in there. You just walk around.
Well, I heard a good journalist talking about how there are people in there. I mean, it's been misconstrued as there are no people. But there are people in there baking bread. There are people in there cleaning shelves and stocking shelves.
There's just nobody at the checkout.
Yeah, there's just no checkout person.
So what do you do? You just put in a code?
No, it just keeps dry. They're all RX tags.
You know what? I didn't pay any attention to where they are. I would imagine Silicon Valley is where they're trying.
I thought Seattle.
Seattle?
I think it's
Seattle?
Their first door.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, the Emerald Valley. Yeah, Gary.
What? On a high-ass VPN, I had to renew it. It's a pain, but I renewed it, and now it will not tie into my VPN. You set up the house. It says my password is wrong. And you know I write down my passwords, and so I know it's right. But I can't. HMA has no access to anything but one stupid little thing.
So what they've done is they've renewed it. Did they give you new credentials? Like, did they give you a new certificate or something like that? Because there might be the need to modify something on the router, depending on if they've changed things or not.
I have no idea. It's back to the whole thing. This ought to be like flipping a light switch. It shouldn't be brain surgery to pay them another $100 or whatever it was to go in. So I don't know.
Yeah,
it didn't tie in right away. In fact, I told the lady I was on the phone with that I was going to cancel, and she said somebody would get back to me to cancel. About 2 weeks later, they did. By then, it was working. I guess I don't know.
Did you go ahead and cancel it?
No, because it wouldn't be another 30, 45 minutes on the phone to deal with it. I had other priorities in my life.
What's the best VPN there?
But
I am not the one to answer that question. I mean, they all perform the security of a VPN, but most people are asking for usability for TV services.
Right, it tells me.
Yeah. It would be so I could look at CBS on my computer.
Yeah, right. That's the normal use. And around here, it just seems to be. I mean, people have different solutions. Chester's using. I hope so. I've got an appointment in Wemyss, but I'm hoping that I'll be back in as I'm coming in. I'll stop by and see what's going on with that.
Chester's what?
Chester's using Whitopia and Cloakbox, and he's very happy with it. Hide my ass. Gary's giving me a scenario. I'd forgotten you were even using Hide My Ass because I know Maggie's given up on it because it won't do Netflix the way she wants. I think you use Amazon, don't you?
I'm getting my Netflix on my phone.
What are you using your VPN for?
Yeah.
Just business that I
do. No, without
anything. Times
anything.
You have service though. On that.
IRS. Yeah.
So you're using it for security.
Through my phone. T-Mobile.
I have Mexican service.
So that's a valid reason to use any VPN is the ability to access websites as though you're in the United States. What would probably be more valuable to you is to come to this group when everyone's here and say, I want to use this, this, and this. What VPNs are you using? Does anybody know if these are working? Because that's really what you're concerned about. There are some VPNs you can't use Bank of America. It recognizes you're using a VPN and says, no, you can't use...
Oh, I know what you're saying.
Right, and so you want to find what's working for people that are doing the same thing you want
to
do.
It seems to me that didn't Chester say last week that he was starting to have trouble with Whitopia?
It's come and gone. I'm not sure if last week he was saying that or not.
Well, the Smart DNS has worked perfectly for me, and I paid $17 for 1 year.
See, now really? Smart DNS does not offer security like a VPN does.
Yeah, I don't care.
But it doesn't matter because Maggie's using it for TV.
Right.
Mm. Oh, so it wouldn't be good for banking necessarily.
Right, right. And it may not have the effect of, like, when you go to Google, it still looks like it's in Spanish.
And is it smart what, DNS?
Smart DNS.
Why would you need VPN to deal with a bank when you go right to their website?
Because some banks aren't allowing you to do international banking through their website any longer.
You can't even access their bank.
Yeah, I know I don't have a problem with my credit union, but there are big banks that are.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
You know, the Linda claims, I access DirecTV on my TV.
Yes?
And I believe I'm getting it from the United States. Of course, in the United States, I pay for everything. There's four people that access it, my son, my grandchildren, and me. So when I open it up, I hit Irving, and then I can access all of DirecTV. Linda claims I'm getting the feed from Mexico. I believe it's the United States feed. Could it be from Mexico?
How are you getting it? I mean, not where are you getting it, but how are you getting it? Are you using a DirecTV box, or are you streaming it through the Internet?
I'm streaming it through the Internet.
Okay. You could be getting it from Mexico. I mean, you're definitely getting it through Mexico, but whether it's provided in Mexico or not is the question, and I'm not certain.
Okay.
Yeah, if it was Netflix, you're definitely getting it from Mexico, and you, as long as you're using the Mexican catalog, as long as you're going to it without going through a VPN, then what they try to do is they try to route you. You remember Bob was talking about hoppers. They're trying to route you to the closest Netflix box with the content you want.
I'm not paying anybody in Mexico for service. I'm only paying for my service in USA. I could still be getting a Mexican fee.
Only if DirecTV has those kinds of relationships going on. And I'm certain they do in the United States. I'm not certain if they do internationally.
Okay.
And so she could very well be right about that.
Years ago when I tried to access it, it would come up with a Mexican and say, do you want to join?
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen anymore.
So she could very well be right. I haven't paid too much attention to DirecTV. I know that's absolutely true with Netflix, is that it's routing you to the next closest place your content exists.
Well, she's right
then. Well, she could be, yeah. I mean, she's definitely right. If we're talking about Netflix, she's definitely right. The only question is whether DirecTV is doing the same thing in this country.
I'm not doing it to DirecTV, though.
Oh, it's Netflix we're talking about.
Netflix.
Ah, okay. Yeah, no, she's right then. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way it's working.
Okay.
Yeah. And the exception would be if you're tunneling through a VPN trying to get the U.S. Netflix, then it can't possibly be close to you.
Do they have the same amount of programming?
Well, it's interesting you ask that, because my immediate thought is we've definitely run into obscure content on Netflix that won't load up quickly. And my first thought is, they haven't bothered to provide that in our local area. Right? There isn't enough demand for that content to have been reproduced on the local server. And I'm only speculating. I don't know that for certain. But there's a big difference between trying to watch House of Cards from a Mexican server versus some obscure indie film in English that nobody in Mexico has heard of. I mean, there's a distinct difference. You go to, boom, House of Cards starts right up. Obscure indie flick, what are we waiting for? It's taking forever to start up. It's like they're bringing it by burrow. Yeah, I suspect that's what we're seeing, is we're seeing the stuff that's in more demand in Mexico And actually, that kind of technology is throughout internet technology, where there's enough demand for a specific thing that it starts getting cached in your local area, so it doesn't have to traverse so much of the internet. I mean, like, if everybody's trying to watch House of Cards, it only takes a certain number to go, wait, we need to keep that local. And all that happens automatically. Nobody's heard of that indie film. You're the first one asking for it, or you're in that first, 100,000 people asking for it. It's not so important that it's buffered or cached locally. I have no idea if I'm using real numbers or not.
Makes perfect sense,
so. Yeah. Well, we've reached the end. They've left just us here.
Thanks
for hanging till the end.
Bye-bye. Have a good day. Thank you all.
You have a good day, too.
I have a report.
A report? Okay.
Okay, you remember, I don't know, a month ago, you said for some reason...
I'm going to pretend that applause is for us.
What? That all of a sudden my computer battery would not recharge. Remember we talked about that? And you showed me how I could go in and do a setting and disconnect the battery altogether and then reconnect it and...
Oh, okay.
Did you remember that?
I vaguely. I think we might have talked about removing the APC battery driver from
Correct.
The device managers.
Correct.
Yeah.
The device manager.
Yeah.
I was afraid to do that. I meant to talk to you about it further. We got busy and I just never did. So I never did that.
Okay.
All of a sudden, one day, the battery's charging. It's just fine.
Sounds like a physical problem.
Like what?
I like a physical problem. Like a physical connection problem. If it's not a software problem, then it's got to be a physical connection problem.
And it's a battery that it doesn't have a battery on, removable battery.
Oh.
Thin, which is what's so particularly weird about that.
Is this an HP?
Yeah, it's an HP Envy.
I would go check that list. I go check that list of flaming HP batteries that was just put out. And make sure you're not on that list.
Okay, how do I do that?
I go to sccclub.org. I just posted a link to it.
Okay, great.
And look for the HP laptops bursting into flames. And there's a list, and there's also a utility that you can download, and we'll verify, because they say the list isn't definitive. Even if you're not on the list, you should download the utility and have it check your battery to see if it's one of the susceptible batteries to this recall. And then there's a utility to download and disactivate your battery because of the threat. It will discharge your battery and prevent it from charging again. And yeah, and I would just, it's a quick thing to check, and it's a
check it out, and then we'll talk further.
Because it may be that you're on a recall list, and not all of this conversation is moot, because you really need to send it back to HP and get a new battery.
So my computer, I'm up in the U.S. last 2 weeks ago, whatever. I was looking at the lowercase, uppercase, whatever.
Yeah, the uppercase versus the keyboard.
Yeah, exactly. And I had this with me. I happened to unplug it for some reason, and it continued to run.
Right. It will, because we left the battery connected.
Okay. So it's running. So the only problem is if it were to die totally.
That's right.
Then I could not start it again with the button.
You'd have to take off the back, unplug the battery, plug it in with a power cord, then plug the battery back in.
Because right now it appears to be running just normal.
Well, and we did have this conversation, Gary. I'm
understanding it better.
Yeah, as long as you don't let and you've got a brand new battery in there. This is why I felt like you had time. As long as you're aware of the limitations. As long as the battery doesn't run completely to dead, or you have to not ever shut it down using the software, then it's not a problem. If you shut it down using the software, or you let the battery run down to dead, then the only way to get it turned back on is to pull the back off of it. And this laptop is similar to your laptop. It's not easy to get into. You have to, special screws, you have to unscrew the back, and it's just to unplug the battery.
Yeah, that's not a replacement.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So when I close, it's just going to sleep.
Yeah, as long as it's going to sleep, it's not a problem. And so that's why I felt like you had plenty of time to deal with this problem.
Okay.
And you got all my, I'm sorry it took me so long to get back to you, but you got all my details on it, right? So whenever you're interested in dealing with it, we can deal with it.
Right. Yeah. And I just had other things that kept me from doing anything like that.
If it was me, I wouldn't deal with it unless I felt like I wanted a pet project. If it was my laptop, I would train myself with these limitations, because it's not worth the expense or the headache of doing the changeover.
Yeah, it seems to be that's the case.
Yeah.
Just be careful.
Yeah. Just be aware of those two limitations, and the laptop's going to work just fine.
And you have no problem.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that it ran dead, dead like a doornail, overnight, instead of going to sleep and being available in the morning, is because your last battery was bad. Now you have a good battery in it. And so what would happen under the same circumstances is that you'd come in and find it asleep.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. It sometimes takes me a dozen times to get it figured out. I'll ask you next week.
All right. Well, I'll look forward to it. I'll bring less topics just so we can talk about that again.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. Thanks, everybody that showed up. I'm now here, sitting here by myself, closing out this recording. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club, and I am Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions. If you've tuned in live with us, you might be interested in other meetings like this, and you can find them on our website at sccclub.org. We also do a YouTube stream, which has been off this month because our studio's in the shop. Hopefully I'll have it back by next week, and we'll be doing YouTube again. If you're in San Carlos, or for that matter, anywhere on the Internet, looking for computer advice and help, get a hold of my organization, International Computer Solutions. You can find us at internationalcs.net. You can reach me at scott@internationalcs.net. Or if you're interested in the computer club, scott@sccclub.org. We'll talk to you next week. Tech on.